Life Effect continues now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. Come January 1st, many people set New Year's resolutions regarding weight loss, exercise, or generally healthier lives. But why does January hold such significance for many of us to reboot our lifestyle?
From Atkins to paleo to cleanses, there is never a shortage of diet fads or trends. Yet every year, people make the same resolutions over and over again.
Fit for You contributor Kim Flannery says the key isn't dieting as much as it is changing your outlook.
I think it's interesting that it comes right after the holidays. It's usually a time of exceptions to a lot of rules for people in terms of, particularly in terms of health, eating, and all of that. It's so January 1st kind of seems, I think a lot of people think of it as a cleansing date, kind of. It's when you get fresh with everything, with your eating, with your exercise, you know, whatever your health goals are and other life goals.
What do you think is wrong with this logic of letting a calendar rule people's patterns and planning when it comes to health and wellness goals?
Well, I think it goes back to the holidays coming right before the new year, and it kind of feeds into that dieting mentality of, all right, we're going to really do it up right over the holidays. But it's okay because January 1st is rolling around and those New Year's resolutions will be set again and everything will be good. We'll get it all taken care of.
Well, it's a mental free pass, but
yes,
on your body. Otherwise, when you're consuming all these extra foods and drinks over the holidays, your body doesn't get a free pass.
Right. So it kind of sets you up when you've got that in the back of your mind that you've got this you can cleanse your, all of whatever you want to call it, your regressions. it sort of sets you up to make sure you have that Last Supper mentality over the holidays. Eat all the cookies and get all that in, you know, before, because January 1st comes around. So you get this black and white kind of thing going on that tends to have the effect on the body of a lot of up and down health-related things and up and down weight in particular.
In your profession, what are some of the most common health goals you see come New Year's?
Well, by far, it would be weight loss. That's everybody's big goal in the new year. Exercise also, people get off of that or maybe have never been on it, but this is the January, it's going to happen.
It's good for gym memberships and classes.
Absolutely.
Come January.
Yep.
So what do you think, with weight loss being a primary goal for many people, what would you warn against for having that as your sole measure of success, is the number on the scale?
The number on the scale, I think, first of all, it is not predictable always. And it isn't a real good measure every time you get on the scale of what you've been actually doing. But the number, I think, tends to set up as the goal, like, how can I get the most off the quickest way? So it tends to lead people into very extreme diet patterns, which never last because they're not behaviorally based in anything that is meaningful to that individual. It's just something that comes from outside of themselves. It's an outside goal that isn't really internally motivated. So it doesn't tend to last.
And also with the physical effects of extreme dieting, like you said, it doesn't last. The weight does eventually come back if mm-hmm. people don't stick to these habits. And having these extreme opposite measures that you undergo come January 1st or whenever people start diets, how does that negatively affect your body, losing weight like that?
Well, it's tough on your body for sure. It sends really mixed signals about appetite, for one thing. All those appetite mechanisms that signal hunger get a little goofy because you go from, typically, you'll go from being really hungry if you're really depleting your stores, and then you'll tend towards more bingey activity because of that, and it tends to lead to cycles up and down. So that's tough on the body. Very tough on the body.
And what about the mind? What kind of mental stress does dieting put on you?
From what I've seen, I would say it might be arguable that that might even be a bigger effect. I see some very, very upset people about things having to do with their weight and frustration and guilt and shame. And it's really it takes a toll, especially for lifetime dieters who seem to jump from one thing to the next or maybe continue to do the same thing over and over even though it doesn't work. It just beats a person down after a while. Such a feeling of failure.
So would you say that ultimately diets don't work?
I would say that would be my opinion. Not that planning doesn't work. I think plans are great, but the externally based motivation of an extreme or, you know, a traditional, what I would say, traditional dieting just isn't all that effective. If it's something that you can say, gee, this makes sense to me on a personal level, and you can own it, so to speak, then it becomes something that you're really invested in personally. And then a plan is great. Nobody wants to float with no boundaries.
So instead of doing yo-yo dieting's extremes, completely changing our habits without the right motivation, what should people's real goals be going forward? What's the real focus?
Well, I would suggest that people take a look at their whole lives. And what ultimately I think is everyone's goal is to have more control over their lives in general and their eating specifically. So it would be paying attention to things that give you more willpower, because there's a whole new science of willpower that's arising now that is just extremely interesting to me and has all kinds of opportunities for people to improve their habits. It seems, I think, to a lot of people that willpower is just this thing that you can't put your finger on. You know, you sometimes have it, sometimes you don't. But really, we're finding that actually there's a whole lot that makes sense with that. And when people understand that, they can set their lives up. They can try to minimize their stress levels. They can make sure they're trying to get plenty of sleep, eating healthy foods, all of these things. They'll understand why that helps them actually have more willpower. So ultimately changing habits and behaviors and the ultimate goal being a happier life and more control over your choices.
So really going to self-care first versus yes. changing your food right away.
Right. Yes. Because if you go at it the other way around, if the self-care isn't there and you just say, okay, I'm going to follow this plan, people will find they're constantly being derailed by life. It just happens.
Yeah. And what mistakes do you see being made over and over again? You know, year after year, gyms get increased memberships. Come January 1st, new diets, new ads come out, and it's because people keep coming back to them. So what do they make the mistake of doing, and why do they, you know, all these repeat attempts, so to speak?
One of the basic mistakes that I see a lot of people making with that goal of losing weight quickly is physical hunger, a basic human instinct that will cause people to derail very quickly. So that's one of the mistakes. If I never hear another 1,200 calorie diet, I'll be ecstatic. So that's basic. And then beyond that, I think the mistake of just not understanding totally how life impacts your ability to follow any plan. So flexibility, people not being able to be flexible. Diets are very black and white, good food, bad food, don't do this, do this. But if people can understand that a bit of intelligent flexibility is really great and it's going to help you towards your goals, self-compassion, being able to forgive yourself for when things don't go exactly as planned, that's a huge derailer for people is the I blew it kind of thing, because we fail ourselves so quickly, when really it's just the main thing that determines who's going to be successful with health and with weight loss and all of that is who's going to be able to just keep going with this and learning. Honestly, it's a lifelong thing.
So what steps do you think we can make to make that first step of self-care a priority? What kind of tools can people use to look inward and try and manage other problems before looking at managing what they eat as the sole solution?
Well, mindfulness in general, just being aware of what's going on in the body and the mind and how do certain foods affect you. So awareness, for sure. Stress management, deep breathing, the most basic thing that we can do for calming ourselves. And honestly, research is showing that it's honestly no surprise to me that deep breathing is also great for restoring your willpower. So just little basic tools like that, just finding ways to de-stress, to decompress after a long day, because food is so easy and convenient and cheap. Honestly, it's the easiest way people often find to do that.
Very much emotional feel, too, yes, for some people.
Yes.
You recently posted in a blog about the topic, quote, "I believe unhappiness and lifestyle imbalance contribute to overweight, not the other way around." So to really put this point home for people, what would you say to encourage someone who is looking at the calendar or has set their resolution to lose X amount of pounds or to work up to a certain event? What would you say to kind of center them back to really focus in on themselves and to have a better mindset going forward, that all year is a good time for resolutions, not just the first, to take some of that pressure off? What would you say?
Well, first I would remind people that you're going to get benefits immediately from self-care. You're going to feel better right away. You don't have to wait for the scale number to go down. But also I would remind people that the weight loss will happen. Don't worry about it. You don't have to focus on that. It's going to be a side effect of your better self-care, your better lifestyle. And it feels a lot more positive. It's going to be more fun. It's going to be less fearful. And once you do make those changes, there's also going to be a lot less fear of gaining back the weight because you know you have the tools. I find people sometimes will lose a bunch of weight, but they lose it quickly and they know how to lose it, but they don't know how to maintain it. So it's a constant anxiety of how am I going to keep this off? And that can be terrifying.
So are there any other quick resources and tools that people can tap into if, say, they don't have the access of coming to you as a nutritionist or a food planner? What if people are doing this on their own? What are some good starting points?
Oh, maybe taking stock of your own life and making a list of some simple goals that you can work on, maybe some habits that are getting in your way that you have a goal of changing, and just focusing on what's causing those habits to stay in place. And again, the mindfulness is such an important thing here, because if you can't see that you have a choice there, the habits just play out. So it's really the mindfulness is a big tool that's accessible to everyone, but it does take a little bit of practice, and it can be frustrating and even irritating to people to meditate or be mindful. But again, don't make it something that feels like a chore. This is not like clear your mind. I've never been able to do that personally. So it's not necessary. It's just tune in and see how things are working for you. Just remind yourself when you know a trouble period is coming up. Maybe there's a stressful time after work every night when you find yourself getting into some unhealthy habits. Just making a note to yourself that you're going to check in every night when you come home from work and realize that, yes, you could go for, you know, the TV and a bag of chips, or you could do this other thing, you know, and coming up with alternatives. And even if they don't play out the way you hope, the mind is starting to change and the mind is taking you out of an automatic habit and giving you the opportunity of having a choice, which is what is my goal really for everyone with eating, is that you just really get what you went into the experience wanting, what you really want, not what your taste buds think they want. Sometimes that's what matters. Sometimes it's something else. But being able to truly choose something that's good for you all around.
Well, I know I'm sure we'll see many ads for new diets and more things come next new year, but hopefully some people can go forward with this being more mindful and away from these habits. So I'd like to thank you for coming in to talk about it today.
Thanks very much. It was nice being here.
Fit for You contributor Kim Flannery is a local registered and certified dietitian currently serving as the Wisconsin Athletic Club's nutrition director. You can hear past Fit for You segments at wuwn.com.